with all that, I want to get right to it. Last week, Pastor John said something that I think will continue to ring in my mind and my heart forever. The certainty of the already assures you in the uncertainty of the not yet. Hear that again really quick. The certainty of the already, what God has already done, assures us when we're not sure of what's going on with the not yet. He's already got it. I love the Bible Project, and they said it like this in a little bit different way. But God's past faithfulness motivates hope for the future. And so we started with this kingdom come message and what all of it's going to look like at the end. And there's really no end for Christians, right? For those who are in Jesus, it just goes on and on and on. And it's so good and it's so perfect. And we started there. And we talked about that profoundly. And then we're moving like just a little bit down towards things that haven't happened yet. So last week, Pastor John talked about some of the kingdoms in this world that were prophesied in Daniel that have already happened. So we can trust God even when we don't understand what's happening. Even when we look around and go, are you coming? I mean, we've been waiting. And that's that hope, right? Are you? It's not just optimistic odds that we have hope in. It's God. It's his faithfulness. It's his goodness. And so with all that, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah had this great ministry, and barely anybody listened to him. Can some of you feel that a little bit? Like you've like been following Jesus, and you've been making him known, and it feels like not very many people are listening. Well, if you talk to Jeremy and Lisa, there's people all over the world coming to Christ. Do you know that just in South Carolina alone, a pastor has seen 1,100 people come to Christ in the last month? Month of November. The good news is still the good news. And there's still people being set free all over the place. And yet we kind of get stuck. And we're just kind of like, when, God? How, God? Will you do something, God? He's faithful. He does, and he does over and over again prove that he is good and faithful. Like I said, Isaiah was kind of this amazing prophet, and he had so much to say about Jesus. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at prophecies about Jesus, some of which have already been fulfilled. And this one today, only parts of it have. And so join me, will you, in Isaiah 11. We're going to go 1 through 2, and then I'm going to take a break and unpack some things because that's just kind of how I do it. And then we're going to go to 3 through 5, and then believe it or not, we're going to take another break and unpack some things. And then we're going to go 6 through 10, and then we're going to unpack some stuff some more. And then by that time, it'll be noon. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get going. So here we go, Isaiah 11, 1 through 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Anybody at this moment thinking, stump of what? Stump of Jesse. Who in the world was Jesse? Anybody? Father of David, look at us. Some of you are like, I wish I had Jesse's girl, right? That's when you think Jesse. But there's a better Jesse. He was the father of David. And so who, like the stump of Jesse, you know stumps, right? These are like the bottom part of a tree that once lived. We had these things on the north side of our house that we didn't plant. I call them things because they were huge weeds. They were like birch trees. And they uprooted our fence and were heading to the foundation of our house. And we were like, hey, we need to get those removed. And so we saved up some money and we got them removed. And then all of a sudden, out of the stump came these little shoots. And like in our yard where the roots had gone, like these trees just growing up. And for one, I'm like, gosh, that seems vaguely familiar. I'm like, oh, I go bald, but then hair grows everywhere else. But more than that, I'm like, yeah, I wish it wasn't as funny as it is. But the reality is, there's this picture all over. Go for a hike and you'll see it. What looks like just like a dead stump, life comes out of. But this stump is more than just some kind of word picture. Will you join me all the way back in Revelation again, just really quick? Aaron, we've already been there. I know. We're going to be there again, just so you know. Revelation 22, and we're going to go 16. Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe it sounded familiar. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. That should sound a little bit weird. The root and the descendant, as we unpacked it before. Jesus is Theoanthropos. Will you go like Baptistic roots with me and just say that word with me? Theoanthropos. Theo being God, anthropos being man. He is the God-man. The best real superhero ever. His name's Jesus. He's the root and the descendant of David, he says. I'm the bright morning star. Okay, so this root and descendant, how can he be both? Because he's 100% man, so the descendant of David, but he's also 100% God. He's the root of David. And that's really, really cool. If you want to go back even further, we can. Okay, Aaron, thanks. 2 Samuel. Go back to 2 Samuel 7:16. You'll find out there's this really cool blessing that God gives to David. But the best blessing is this part that we're going to read right here. This is how it all gets encapsulated. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, the Lord says. Your throne shall be established forever. Jesse and David both died. Solomon died. Rehoboam died. All these other kings died. You know who didn't stay dead? Jesus. We're in church. You can say it. Having spent a week with people that don't go to church, they say Jesus a lot. And I helped them to know. What? I did that a few times. They said, Jesus. I'm like, he's here? What? I thought I was going to hear something. They're like, okay. Sorry, pastor. I'm like, you don't have to bow to me. You will be bowing someday. This root, this branch, this offshoot is the King of Kings. We talked about him. He's so amazing and awesome. He's the one that's to fulfill a prophecy we read way back in the beginning of the year. So are we going to go to the book of Genesis? Wait a minute. Yeah, we are. Let's go to Genesis 3:15. We're going to talk about this for the rest of the year, by the way. Genesis 3:15. Check out this prophecy. And Nate talked about it, and he and I didn't high-five each other and say, look, you say this, I'll say that. That would be way too detailed. I'm not that guy. I will put enmity between you and the woman, God says. And he's speaking to the devil. I'll put enmity between your offspring, your seed, and her offspring, her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Look, there is a king that lasts forever. His name, Jesus. No offense to David, no offense to Solomon, no offense to even Josiah, who's this really cool child king that grew up and wanted more and more of God and actually wanted his people to know more and more of God. Those guys were limited. But the righteous king who we're talking about today, is Jesus. There's only one. His name, Jesus. And so listen to this. Let me read for you one more time. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus would even be born. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This would be different than any other king. Why? Well, look at all the different things from the Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wow. Jesus, in his exclusivity, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the righteous King. Nobody else is like him. There's been people that have had little pieces of that, but he's the only one. And so I want to talk about this fear of the Lord, and we'll just read it through Isaiah 11, 3 through 5. Check it out. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Okay, delight. Who uses the word delight? Good job, Ellie. I appreciate that. Anybody else besides Ellie? Delight? You, Linda? Have you guys said the word delightful? Well, that was delightful. Did anybody say that about their turkey or anything? Just like people. That was delightful. What a delightful time in Hawaii. I mean, I don't use the word delightful, but I love that word. It's like delight, like you find joy in, you find satisfaction in. I mean, it's in the word, friends. Light. You find light there. There's goodness there. He says, look, the delight of this righteous king shall be the fear of the Lord. Not terror. I'm so scared. But like you delight in his compassion and his holiness. You delight in his goodness. You delight in his righteousness. You delight in his redemption. But not just for you. Listen, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Like, gosh, let me take a look at this first. No, this is how he'll judge. With righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. I'm not exactly sure what you heard in all of that, but there's a righteous judge. Like he says, and it goes. He's got judgment for the meek and for the poor, and he's got death for the wicked. And if he judges us based on who we are, not on who he is, we're done. Look, this is just an absolute truth, and some people want to debate it over and over. Oh, man, people are just trying to freak people out and trying to make their offerings bigger. Because if people feel guilty and then they do good things, then they'll get good stuff and they'll give good stuff. And it's all this, like, transactional thing. No, there's a judge, and his name is Jesus, and he's the only one. Let me share with you in the book of John why he came. Because he shared it. John 6, 38 through 40. I love that we're actually talking about Jesus and why he came before Christmas. As a matter of fact, we always love to talk about Jesus here. We don't just take communion because, well, it's kind of a thing that we've done. We focus on the goodness of God. Like daily, but when we get together and we want him because he's God. But I can't make you hunger and thirst for him. Only he can do that. Only he can draw that. I pray for that all the time in me and you. And I want to see more and more of it in me and in you. Check out John 6, 38 through 40. For I've come down from heaven, Jesus said. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. More hope. The last day. I don't know if you guys are catching that prophetic feeling, that prophetic blanket that's being covered over all this. The last day, Jesus wins. We win. There's hope. There's living hope. There's joy. There's peace. There's love for us right now and on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. And then go over to John 7:24 really quick. He says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. There's only one righteous judge. He's the righteous king. He's the root and the branch. He's coming out of the stump of Jesse. Again, stumps, that's like a dead tree. But God makes life from death. He's like, don't just look at what things look like. Judge with right judgment. And only Jesus has that right judgment. When he says something's right, it's right. When he says something's wrong, it's wrong. No matter what the authorities tell you. No matter what your flesh tries to tell you. More on that in the weeks to come. Let's go back and finish Isaiah 11:6-10. So righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins, it says in verse 5. And we hear this, God is awesome, and he's got the judgment, and he's got this righteous king that's coming, and he'll last forever. And it wasn't David, it was the son of David, Jesus. We read all the way back in Genesis 3:15 again, that there's going to be the seed of the serpent, which is people who don't want God. Or at least they don't want God to be God. And then there's the seed of the woman who's going to win forever. That's Jesus. And then just kind of randomly, they talk about how awesome his kingdom is. Verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I don't know if you know how it goes today, but the lion eats the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. This is another poisonous snake. I have got to take all of this by faith because I hate snakes. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Technically, that's happening now. The world is full and not everybody sees it. This is talking about a time when it's all good all the time. And that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for all the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Shall be. Jeremy, are people in the Middle East seeing Jesus as a living hope today? Even though it's against the law and they get in trouble for it. So we're getting a little picture of this right now. One day, it's not just a picture. It's always. But we have hope today. I told you that I wasn't going to give you a bunch of dogmatic statements about what the Bible says in prophecy and give you some kind of dates and all that kind of stuff. But I believe that there's a thing called the millennial kingdom. Because the Bible says it. I mean, we literally just read a little snapshot of that. But there's a lot of really, really wise people that debate hardcore about this. Like, it's already happened. It's not happening yet. There has to be a rapture and then the millennial kingdom. I can tell you that the world that I live in doesn't look like what we just read in Isaiah 11:6-10, all the time. And again, I'm not trying to say there isn't a reason to discuss, debate, go off on these things. I mean, go ahead. I'm just here to tell you that one day, the living hope comes back. And there's going to be no shortage of perfection. But I want to read for you as we end today in Revelation 20, 1 through 10. That gives us a little more about this 1,000 years. When's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? You guys, I'm not here to tell you dogmatically, emphatically, how and when. I'm just here to say dogmatically and emphatically, it's going to. It will. It does. God doesn't lie. That's why. How does all this work out? Well, parts of it are happening right now in our lifetime. There are people that are seeing this peace and this goodness, and that once where there was war, there isn't, but we're still seeing tons and tons of war. We're seeing animals eating animals, not straw. We're not seeing children lead. We're seeing children be exploited. We're seeing children be sold. We're seeing children be killed because they didn't change the channel quick enough. It's a broken world. This whole millennial kingdom, I believe that it'll be real. We can debate that and all that, but it's not even what the end that we read about in Revelation 21 and 22 is. This is just before that. So here you go. I'm just going to read it. Make the conclusions that you want, but please land on this. The righteous king is Jesus. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. Ooh, get excited, church, because God actually got the enemy at the end of a rope. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan. I mean, he's got four names and they all suck. And he bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the pit and he shut it and he sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. So the righteous judge gives the authority to judge to some people. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. You want to go back into Revelation 2 and 3, you're going to find out people get their heads cut off, and it's sadly happening today, for the testimony of Jesus. But I saw them, that they were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Their reward was significant. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. What? Yeah. There's a first resurrection. Not everybody will be resurrected. Those who got beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God get to rise up first, and they reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. There is no battle. They got ready for one, and they got whooped. your righteous king wins. Amen. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Apart from him, every human being that does not want this righteous king will join them in the fire. But not yet. Keep telling people. Keep living it out. This righteous king is also the Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk some more about that later. In a couple of weeks, we'll hit that up pretty hard. But this Prince of Peace wants shalom for people. He wants oneness with God. He wants us to be with him. But many of us right here are so distracted by right here. We're so taken with how we feel and how things look. And he's like, no, the right judgment is mine. Let me judge. Let me show you what's right. And he wrote it down for us, church. How cool is that? Like, if you're wondering, hey, let me just write it down for you. Look, I am not good with directions, but I'm even worse without them. I need directions. I can't just look up and go, okay, that street probably ends here. I'm like, especially if like you're in another state, I don't know, like Hawaii. But God gives us directions. God gives us hope. God gives us reason to believe. Jesus is the righteous king, the righteous judge. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. My friends, is yours. Do you delight in how awesome God is? Start practicing if you don't. There'll be more on that on the Live It Out video. I'd love for you to watch that and to tell people about it. Not because I love how I look. I don't. I've had a lot of pictures taken of me this last week. And let's just say, food has not been kind to your boy Aaron. But inactivity has been less kind. So, a little 9-mile hike when we were walking over some old, like, volcanoes. That was amazing. And I realized, oh, gosh, there's your hammies. But this is all temporary here. There's an eternal joy that has begun already. There's a living hope that has never been taken from you. Well, I don't feel it. Okay. He's still there. He wants you. He loves you. He paid for you. Quit trying to tell him how to do his job and just follow him. He's the king. The crown don't fit on you. Don't wear it. Let's pray. Father, today and every day, I rejoice that you are God and we're not. I rejoice that you are so kind and compassionate. I also rejoice that you're so holy, and it's terrifying because you're so much different than us. God, I thank you that what you bring about isn't just future hope, it's today hope. But we do know that at the end, like this lasting kingdom that Pastor John talked about, that you talked about in Daniel, that you gave us a heads up on, that will be, and it's already started, and so may we trust you and believe you. May we remember that your past faithfulness gives us hope for the future. And the fact that you are not bound by time gives us hope today, even when what we see is just pretty discouraging at times. Would you help us to judge rightly? And the only way we can do that is to be in you. God, may we say what's wrong is wrong, but may we show people how to be right. And that's to humble themselves and submit to you and to repent where needed, to rejoice, to be thankful, as Nate talked about, even in the difficult things. God, you don't waste a thing, and I'm so grateful for that. Would you help us to be strong and courageous? And may we not keep that to ourselves. May we be the kind of people that are contagious for all the right reasons. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.